And a very pleasant good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live. For those who are keeping record, this is broadcast number one of the year 2022. Your host for Sunday Night Live is Mark Meek. Your co-host tonight is Natalie Thomas. Good evening, ma'am.
Well, good evening. And see, I cut you off because I was so excited to hear episode number one.
That's right.
Yeah.
And just in case you're not aware, I don't really keep track of that.
You don't?
But one of our pieces of software over here puts the number up for me every week automatically.
Now you just destroyed my image of you because I really thought that you kept up with that. And I was really thinking that was just pretty good.
There's no idea so good it can't be plagiarized.
Well, Happy New Year.
Yes, you too. We survived.
We made it.
That's right.
2021 has come to an end.
Woo, glory.
That's right. So do you have any New Year's resolutions going on?
Yeah, I'm
going
to stay with 640 by 480. I can see it best on my screen.
Okay. All you tech people got that, I'm sure. Well, you know, I'm not so much on New Year's resolutions. I've just decided that I'm just going to try to do my best. You know, actually, Jim, as you think about it, we always try to do our New Year's resolution. And then a month later, what happens?
That's right. So my New Year's resolution many years ago was don't make any New Year's resolutions.
There you go.
And it's the only one I've ever kept.
There you go. That's perfect.
Yep.
I don't make any either. I do try to figure out what God has for me for the new year. But, you know, as I was thinking about New Year's resolutions, I was thinking about that scripture that says in Lamentations 3, it's either 23 or 24, and it says his mercies are new every morning.
Every day, yeah.
Every day. So it doesn't matter if it's the beginning of the year, the end of the year, the middle of the year.
It's new.
It's new.
Right.
Wake up. It's a new day.
And so, I'll take it. I'll
that's
take
right.
It.
That's I'll right. take it. Well, with that being said.
Yes. There's your lead in.
There. Yeah. There it is.
There's your lead in. We have a guest.
Yes. With that being said, new beginnings, mercies are new every morning. I have some guests with us tonight that would probably say they feel like they have had a new beginning. We have with us tonight, we have Tim and Tracy Rogers. Welcome, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
Very much so.
Yes, thank you for coming. So, all right, we're talking about New Year's. How about you guys? Are you New Year's resolutions people?
No.
Absolutely not.
Just like you say, you make them and then you break
them. You try to do the diet thing and then it's like, oh, yeah. So, no. No, we're not.
No New Year's resolutions. Okay. Well, talking about being in the new year and new beginnings, that's one of the things I actually kind of been thinking about in January. And as I was speaking to you guys in church, I just really felt like the Holy Spirit had prompted me to ask you guys to come be on the show. And then I didn't know a whole lot about your story, but as I asked that, you guys said, oh, God has really moved in your life.
Definitely has moved.
For sure.
Okay, well, so I'm excited because I don't really know the whole story, and so I'm ready to get down to the middle of it and find out what's going on. So who wants to start off with the basics, the beginning? Who wants to go?
Do you want to know about us individually, or do you want to just jump right into the relationship?
Well, I'll tell you, Tracy, why don't you start, and why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself prior to this testimony you're going to give.
Okay. I was raised in church. My father is a pastor, but I didn't become a pastor's kid until I was in my 30s because of his testimony and the way God took him. But I have sang and led worship in church and just have always been involved in church. But my first relationship, my first marriage to my kid's dad was not very followed by biblical, you know. We were in and out of church a lot. We kind of did what we wanted to do. And when things got rough, we went to church. And when things got good, we got out of church. And, you know, never really a godly leader. And I was probably not the kind of wife that I needed to be. And so that being said, in around 2017, we divorced and I moved to Arkansas and became part of ministry there with my parents in their church. My father's pastor. She's the children's leader. And I became in.
And then that's Tim. Funny. Okay, so now we know Tracy.
That was me. I'm here other than whatever. I lived in Canadian in Miami for just a little bit, but I mean, this is home. And so somewhere about 2017, My grandmother was contemplating moving into a nursing home or something of that matter. She was 88, 89. And so I moved from Miami out to the farm and started taking care of her. And anyway, somewhere about there as well is I texted Tracy, and
we had already been friends since about 2012. We had gone to church together, so we were acquaintances and we were friends with each other. So that's, we were friends on Facebook, and that's how he texted me, was through Messenger.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Creeping. Maybe a little.
And so we chatted, I don't know, maybe a few days or something, and then it just kind of melted off into the sunset, so to speak. And anyway, a year later, in November of 18,
I was creeping.
And she told me she was, hey, but she said I'm not. Anyway, it was. I got this huge text message that says, "I've been liking a lot of your posts, and I hope you don't think I'm creeping on you." However, I mean, that's exactly what she was doing.
I was stalking him just a little.
There you go.
There's a post from 2009, and she liked it.
And so, anyway, we started chatting in November of 18, and haven't shut up yet. it was just kind of a crazy deal. And so, anyway, when she texted me that way long text, we were texting into the night, and it was getting like way late. And I finally asked her, I texted her, I says, can we have a phone conversation, ma'am? I says, I hate texting. And like I said, it was way late into the night then. And, well, she said, of course. And so we called and started chatting. And
I have to interrupt. As soon as I totally forgot what his voice sounded like. So as soon as I answered the phone and he's like, how are you doing? And I just started that deep voice he has. And I was like, oh boy, I'm in trouble.
And so we're chatting along there, and, her kid's room was right next to her room, and there was a window. And of course, November, they kept the window open so that heat would pass through. Well, her her son finally went and told Tracy's mom, said, I can't sleep.
He told on me.
And so Tracy's mom comes to her door and knocks on her door. And says, hey, you need to go to sleep. The kids can't rest because you're
laughing
giggling
so much
and carrying on like a little teenage girl in here. So, yeah, anyway.
So our first conversation, I got in trouble by my mother. And I think I was like 39 years old at the time.
When you grew up, did you guys have a telephone? You know, because obviously cell phones, you know, you can talk in your bedroom now. But
yes.
I can remember, you know, they used to do the kids' phones and you'd get in trouble and your parents are like, get off the phone.
Yeah.
I never, so it's kind of like that.
I never had a kid's phone growing up. We had one phone in the house. And so if you had a conversation with somebody, you had it in front of everybody in the house until they came out with the cordless, though.
Which is probably a good idea because some of the things that kids can talk about.
Yes. Getting some trouble.
I'm that older generation, evidently, because there was only one phone, and it was hooked on the wall, so you couldn't get very far.
Did you have to turn the knob?
Yeah, I'm not that old. Holy cow! We did have one as decoration, though, for sure.
Those are cool. I have one. But okay, so you told us about, you know, you guys kind of had started talking.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of creeping on each other. So you knew each other before you actually started, you know, talking.
Yes, we did. We did know each other from Soldiers for Christ Fellowship in Skelly Town. The kids and I went to church there when they were younger. And It actually was funny because Eden could hear him singing whenever we would have worship with every. All you can hear singing is guys in that church because there's these big biker dudes and they're worshiping God and it's the most amazing thing ever.
Yes.
And just hearing these men worship God, that was always my favorite part of the service. But Eden would ask to go stand next to Popeye, because that's his name. she wanted to go stand next to him so she could hear him sing. And so,
now, who is Eden?
Eden is my daughter. We have five kids together. Tim has three from previous marriage, and then I have two. And so together we have blended five. And then we have grandkids, almost five grandkids. Three grandkids and two on the way. So
twins.
Twins, oh, yes.
I'll pray for you.
Thank you so much.
So you guys were involved in Soldiers for Christ?
Yeah.
Still are.
We still are,
and
yes.
You still are. And where is that based out of?
That's in Skellytown, Texas.
Right. That's where the church is that we attended both years back and got to know each other, so to speak, I guess, as friends.
Soldiers for Christ is a motorcycle ministry for those people that don't know. It's a, and they do all kinds of ministry. One of the big ones is around Christmas, and that's toy drives and giving out toys to families in need.
Yeah, with that being said, not to interrupt the story, but isn't it so that Tim just actually took a load somewhere here recently?
I just got back as of last week. I went left Wednesday at 3:30 in the morning and got home Thursday from Kentucky at about 5:15 or so. So a little over about 36 hours and thereabouts of 1,800 miles round trip.
So there are multiple chapters of Soldiers for Christ in different states. And so there was a chapter in Kentucky that we got a hold of them and found out that they were helping in the community. So we obviously had toys put back. We have a storeroom full of toys for Christmas time. So okay. The Soldiers chapter in Skellytown got some boxes of toys and sent along with all of the other donations that people came up with.
Clothes and water and some food, as a matter of
and
fact.
And a few blankets. And
blankets, coats, just stuff that when your home gets destroyed, you have nothing left, especially after you are just out with the clothes on your back. So, yeah.
That's right. That's awesome.
Where were we?
Well, so that's okay. I'll keep y'all on target.
Good deal.
You don't have to
good
worry
deal.
About it. Okay?
Good deal.
All right. So I want to go back to you guys were going to Soldiers for Christ, and at that time you guys knew each other from that. So I'm assuming that during that time you and your husband were going to Soldiers for Christ as well, or is that after? I'm just kind of curious, because are you a motorcycle rider is really where I'm getting to down to the moment.
I am a motorcycle rider, but I did not become a motorcycle rider until we actually got together. My first husband and I only went to church there. We were not part of the motorcycle ministry.
Oh, okay.
And so, no. I rode motorcycles with my dad and stuff when I was little, like dirt bikes, but it's been a long time since I got on a bike until we got together. So,
so I bet you love that.
I do. It was really scary at first. It was really, really scary because I'm one of those people, and this comes back to being in control, and I'm one of those people that likes to know what's happening and where we're going and what's going on. And on a bike, you have no control. You have to trust him completely. and that first ride was really, really scary for me because I can just see the ground moving underneath my. Now I love it. It's like the most real. It's like a form of worship to me. I get on get on the road and I listen to music and it's just seeing everything go by and the beauty of the surroundings. And it's absolutely one of my favorite places to just worship and have time with God.
You're not encapsulated anymore. You're not in a cage,
yes,
so to speak. And you're free.
When you get the smells, get the full
on.
Panoramic view. You just, I'm saying all this, and I have ulterior motives asking you this, Tracy, because I'm a motorcycle girl too, and I wasn't until my husband, and I was riding with him, and he would, when you take those curves and you lean,
yes,
I was like, I don't like this lean. And so until I trusted him, I'd lean opposite, and he'd be like, "What are you doing?
You're killing me back there. You're killing me. What are you doing? You gotta, yeah, that, you gotta act like there's a rod running through the center of both of you. If whatever the driver does, the passenger's got to.
Supposed to be
that's
that,
right.
that connection for sure.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and don't you think it's a trust issue?
It is.
It's a trust issue knowing that Tim is driving and he cares for you. He's going to take care of you.
Yes, it very much is. And that, I think one of the first times we went around the curve in Mobidi. And it just feels like on a bike, it feels like forever, especially when you're on the back seat. And it's just like, okay. And I try to lean back the other way and I'd be like, nope, you're going to throw him off. And I would have to force myself to trust that he was. Sometimes I close on those big curves. I close my eyes and just feel his body because I know that I need to follow his lead.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that amazing?
There might be
that'll almost preach right
that
there, is. I think.
There you go.
Close your eyes.
There's a sermon
and
in that.
Yeah, probably so.
So you guys you knew each other, and you went to the Soldiers for Christ, and then you went to Arkansas, and then you started creeping. He creeped on you.
Yes.
And then you creeped on him, and now you guys are talking. And so who wants to take up the story from here?
I will. Well, he really had a little bit of a trust issue there, too, because he was like, we're 300 and something miles apart. You know, how is this going to work? Why are we even trying this? You know, and I was like, we just have to trust God. Maybe this is going to go somewhere.
How many miles?
Well, 390.
390. He knows because he drove them a lot more than I did. But he had a little bit of a trust issue there. And there was about a week there that he stopped talking to me. And I was like, okay, well, this one's done. He's not going to have anything to do with me anymore. And then I don't know if he prayed about it or what happened, but we started talking again. And then it's kind of like I could tell in the conversation when he finally just let go and said, okay, I'm just going to see where this goes. And those walls started coming down. His walls came down a lot faster than my walls came down. And so it was like, when he asked me to go on our first date, we lived 390 miles apart. So he asked he goes, how are we going to even date? And I said, well, what if we just meet in Oklahoma City? And he's like, okay. And then he waited for a minute and he said, I don't feel, you're in ministry at your parents' church. I don't feel comfortable meeting you and people knowing that you're meeting me. You know, if somebody was to find out, they're going to talk and it's going to be, they could say something disrespectful. And you're in ministry, and I don't want to harm that. And so he said, do you have a problem with someone coming with us? And I said, no. And he goes, can I have your dad's number? He called my dad. He asked my dad permission to talk to my mother. He talked to my mother and asked her if she would go on our first date with us. So our very first date,
oh wow!
My mother traveled with me to Oklahoma City. He bought us both flowers, took us out to eat steak dinner, and I was so like in shock by the way that I didn't even introduce him to my mom. We were like in the truck and sitting, waiting at the restaurant. And he goes, what's your mom's name? And I was like, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. I was so caught up in everything. But part of me fell in love with him right then because no man has had that kind of integrity with me that would say, let your mom come with us on our first date because I don't want people to talk bad about you. And that was one of the first things that like instantly attracted me even more to him because I knew that was a man of integrity. That was a man of God that was worried about what people would think about my ministry that I was in. Plus, you know, he got brownie points with my parents there too.
Oh, I imagine so.
He asked, you know, permission from my dad to speak to because he was not going to speak to another. He wasn't going to speak to another man's wife without talking to him first.
And how honoring. He honored you in that.
Yes.
And he respected who you were from the very beginning. Look
yes.
at you, Tim. Who knew? It was in there. It was in there. Okay. So then you went on your first date.
We went on our first date. And we went out to eat. And then we went back to the moat because we didn't really... Mom was tired and she didn't want to go shopping or anything that night. So she went to the room. We actually stayed in the lobby of the hotel and talked. Neither one of us I didn't go to his room. He didn't come to ours. And we stayed in the lobby and 3 hours of conversation.
Pretty easy.
Yeah. I was even trying to like get him to kiss me. I was like moving in, trying to get him to kiss me. And he was like, Do you think we should wait till our second date? So he waited till he walked me to my room, and it was after midnight, so technically it was the second day of our dating weekend, and then he kissed me.
Well, looky there.
So,
all right. So, Tim, you took her back to the room and you kissed her.
Well, I didn't take her back to the room. Yeah,
we were outside the door.
Let's make sure we clarify that for sure. Here we talk about all of this and then crazier it right there.
Yeah.
Well, get off of the elevator, and it's roughly, it's just a little bit after midnight, and moved out of the way where Mom couldn't be watching out the
peephole.
Out the peephole. and we did. We had our first kiss right there in front of the elevators. Oh, not only that, you were on a different floor even. Yeah,
I think we were on the third floor or something, and you were on the floor below us.
Whatever. I don't really remember. Were on different floors.
But yeah, we were.
So y'all were playing it safe.
We did good.
So you had your first date. You met in Oklahoma City, but still, you guys are living apart.
Yes. And I have kids. I have a junior and a sophomore in high school. And so we had a lot of, oh no, what are we going to do? And my kids knew him because we had gone to church with him when they were younger. And that was where the praying started, because it was like, okay, God, what are we going to do now? Like, we're starting to really have feelings for each other. I think we told each other we loved each other not soon after that Oklahoma trip. Like, we were over on the phone together. And so we knew that was the next step. But with that also came one of our big arguments that we had, because I lived in Arkansas. I was in ministry there, and I didn't really want to leave my parents. I didn't want to pull my kids out of school, and they're still in high school. And I basically told Tim, if you love me, you'll move to Arkansas. Mm. And Tim didn't really like that so much.
Well, the whole time we talked that one night forever, it was like, well, I've been praying and praying and praying for a man to lead me. And now you're asking me to come
follow me, basically.
You. And that's not how this is supposed to go. And he got quiet again. In fact, I think there was something to the fact that I need to get off the phone for a little while. And it wasn't me. That was her speaking.
Yes.
And she says, I've got to get off the phone for a little while because, I don't know so much about this. And I was like, well, just that one, and chalk another one up.
But I did call him back about 15 to 20 minutes later. And I honestly don't remember if I had prayed about it, if I had journaled about it or anything like that. But I did take some time, and I was like, okay, well, this is one of those that I need to trust God, and I need to trust him. If he's going to end up being my husband, then that's something we need to discuss, you know, that if this comes about, I would definitely be the one that would need to move, because he had a good job here and he was taking care of his grandmother. And I think it was in February he came for a visit, and he had come and he actually wanted to spend some time with my kids. So we had a family date, and we all went out to eat Chinese food. Tim had two plates of shrimp, and the kids were like, is that all this guy is going to eat?
But, go ahead, Tim. Interject here.
I'm okay with it. What can I say? It's the truth.
He likes shrimp.
I do. Them boiled shrimp, peel and eat. Yeah, buddy. Get on. Come on.
Yeah.
So he had a good – my daughter – we say our daughter now, so it's kind of weird. But Eden didn't like the whole idea of us dating, because she knew that if this moved into something else, that we wouldn't stay in Arkansas. And so she was kind of a turd.
Quiet, in part actually. Of
our, and I remember that evening she said, when is he leaving? Like, she was just a little snot about it and very rude in front of everybody. And so he waited extra long and left really late that night. And he had to work the next day. But we were out in the truck saying bye. And we were talking and we were kind of joking around and saying, you know, one of these days we'll be together and we'll have our house and da-da-da-da-da and all this. And he goes, well, let's stop playing. And he flipped the light on and he goes, will you marry me? And this was like third date. I guess if you wanted to just, really, I mean, because we live so far apart, we really didn't have a lot of dates. We had a lot of conversations on the phone. And I just looked at him and I said, yes, I do. And for the next month, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed on how to handle this and how to tell our kids and what options to give them, because my son was going to be a senior the next year. And so about that month went by, in the beginning of March, he came back for a visit and we set the kids down and told them that we were planning on getting married. And Eden went to bawling
broke.
And crying and
broke.
Having a fit, because she did not want to move. She did not want to live in Texas again. She didn't want to do any of it. She really didn't like the idea that I gave her brother the option to stay, because he had a year left and he was done. And it was like, who wants to move their senior year of high school?
Right.
And so she was not happy that she didn't have an option, but they kind of adjusted to it the best that they could. And that evening I actually got a ring and got a formal proposal in front of the kids and my parents. And that was all. It wasn't anything fancy. And he was,
okay, I got to interrupt you. I got to know. People want to know. Okay. So did you know he was going to propose, or did you set this up, Tim? How did you work all this out to propose to her?
We actually talked about it. It wasn't a spur of the moment deal, because like I said, I'd already proposed in the pickup, but we talked about it. The whole playing the kids thing, or not playing the kids, but getting the letting the kids in on it first was big. Cause knew we were going to have to sit down with them. And
because we knew they would freak out if he just said, yeah, will you marry me in front of everybody?
yeah.
So preparing them before you did it.
A little bit, yeah.
And I knew that he had the ring, but I didn't know when he was actually going to present the ring to me. So that was, sorry, I didn't mean to steal that part of the story from you, but you can tell that part because you got the kids involved in that.
I actually got
Dathan.
She offered and then she backed out. That's nuts. Yeah.
Now, are both of your kids together, or is this just your kids?
This was just my kids. We were at my parents' house, and my son Dathan and my daughter Eden were there, and his kids. I don't even know if his kids knew that we were. His kids are grown, and so they have their own life, and he wasn't really telling them that he was dating anybody or anything like that.
It wasn't going to affect them like it was going to affect your
children. Right, exactly.
Yeah. Right. I mean, up until the day we got married, nobody had a clue other than
maybe a handful of people.
Yeah, just a handful, but most everybody had no clue. And we got married here in Wheeler. Judge Heffley married us, and shortly thereafter we posted a few pictures and said that it was done.
Status.
It changed our status and turned our phones off, actually, because we didn't.
So you made it Facebook official. You were going to get some notifications.
Yeah, we had went to have our honeymoon, I guess, and we had announced it, turned the phones off, and went out to eat. And left our phones at the motel.
Yeah, sure did. Just...
Okay, so we need to go back to the proposal. See, we want to know. So you didn't know how he was going to give you the ring, right?
Correct.
And so you're planning this on how you're going to give her the ring, correct?
Right.
Well, all right, so tell us a little bit more about that.
Man, you're going to jog my mind. I wish I'd have thought about this, because...
You know, because all of us, we want to know how he proposed.
I can remember it exactly if you want me to tell you.
Well, I asked Eden.
My version of it, yeah.
I asked Eden because, I mean, she was having the hardest time with it. And she said she would, and then she backed out. And then Dathan, we figured out how to, and then I'll let you finish because,
we were sitting on the couch next to each other. And my mom was across the room, and the kids were kind of wandering around the living room. And Dathan goes, huh, what's this? And it was like my instantly knew. And then he walked over to my mom, and he goes, Mimi, is this yours? And he had it on his pinky. And she goes, no, but that sure is pretty. And then he turned around, and I instantly knew then. He turned around, and he goes, hey, Mom, is this yours? And I went, yes, it is. And so he handed it to me, and I turned around and handed it back to Tim, like, you got to do this right. And so he got down, pushed the coffee table away. We have a picture of him in his overalls, on his knee, asking me to marry him.
Sure
now
enough.
that is pretty cool.
Yeah, we weren't dressed up. I think I had scrubs on from work and no makeup on, and he was in his overalls from traveling, and yep, that's how we did it.
Came to Arkansas to propose.
Sure did.
All right, so he proposed, and then now what happened?
Well,
you said you were praying for that month.
And we had been praying for that month on how to do this, and so basically, we scheduled the date. I wanted to have a wedding, but there was no way that it was going to happen. I wanted to also get married soon too, so it wasn't going to happen. So we scheduled the wedding actually around the kids' spring break. So it was literally 2 weeks after he popped the question in front of everybody, came to Texas and got married on March 20th. And from there on, we actually, our first couple months married, we lived apart because my kids were still in school and I wasn't going to pull them out and come here for 2 months. So we...
We weren't going to pull them
out. We, sorry.
Y'all decided
we did. Yes. We did a lot of traveling. He drove and I drove a couple of times here. I actually surprised him once and came a day earlier than he thought I was coming. And so we had a lot of traveling during that time. But once May got there and the kids were out of school, we all came. And then my son stayed here for a little while to help my daughter with the transition of being here. And plus their father lives in this area, so they still see him occasionally. But and then, yeah, life started living in his grandmother's house with his grandmother and us newly married. And having a teenage daughter. Oh, it was a crazy year. I think it was a crazy summer.
So, okay, Tim,
Well, I'm not going to, man, it takes a huge, special lady to marry a fella that's thereabouts of 10 years older than she is. And isn't living in his home. He's living in his grandmother's home, taking care of her. And she comes in. A home is something that a woman, it's her palace. And so home to her, to be able to decorate, change, and put everything together. And we were just discussing this just a day or so ago. Our room, which is upstairs, our room was our living room, our kitchen, you know, dining room, of course, bedroom, you know. and we had there's a little half bath up there as well. And so the...
And a spiral staircase with no door, just so you are aware.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, there is a door to the house.
Yes, there is.
But
to the staircase.
Well,
the staircase comes down from the bedroom and into a sunroom. And so there's a door that separates the sunroom from the rest of the house. So that's only door, basically.
Yeah. And it's some, it just, she's an amazing woman to have the trust involved for sure. And jumping out on that faith and trusting in me to take care of her, not only take care of her, but she knew I had my grandmother to take care of as well. And I mean, in the beginning, I was used to cooking almost every meal, at the end of the day, you know, evening meal, supper. And, so it took some getting used to a little bit, you know. She was more of a guest in the house than, so to speak.
Yes.
Than
it being her domain.
Her being her domain, and it took some. It once a month for a while, we had come to Jesus talks about. about, you know, how we were, how and what was going on. It was the whole, you knew when all this was started, you knew this was going to happen. Yeah, we've got plans, but even though the place we want is a quarter of a mile away, I mean, do you want to sit and listen to the phone ring every 2 or 3 hours or whatever? Tell him I need this. Tell him I need, you know. I mean, yeah. For goodness sake, it was just easier. I don't know the word. As frustrating as it was, you know, living there, it was still a blessing because, I mean, it was. We didn't know then. I mean, we know now that 18 months was the last 18 months. And so, she got to see my grandmother for the last 18 months of her life as well. So,
you get to be a part of that.
Right.
There were definitely hard days and days that we struggled as far as not living in our own home and being in another woman's domain, you know, I guess being a woman, you might be able to understand that.
Right.
And she had her way of doing things, and she was not the easiest person to get along with. But the age that she was and the amount of time she was on this earth and the things that I was able to learn from her, just even in the kitchen alone, from when to salt and pepper certain things, because
things underground you salt from the beginning, things above ground halfway.
Yes. Yeah. And I didn't know that. And so there was so much that I was able to learn from her in the time that we were together. So it was definitely a transition. But back to when we were dating, also way before we were dating, I would always journal. It was a way that I had a lot of anxiety and depression issues, and that was one of my things that helped me a lot. It was definitely with anxiety, was to get everything out. And one night I was journaling and God told me to write a letter to my husband. At this time I had no idea who my husband was going to be. I was a single mom trying to work 40 hours a week plus be in ministry at my parents' church, living at my parents' home. And God said, I want you to write a letter to your husband. And so in my journal, I wrote a letter to my husband. And so there were prayers in there that I prayed for my husband and different things. And so when Tim and I got married, on our wedding night, I gave him that letter. And he still has that. He has it saved in, I think, the pocket of a bag or something.
It's in his overnight bag. Yep. It's in that pocket.
But that was something that he wanted to make sure that I shared, that because that was one of his favorite things, is that I prayed. And any woman out there that is single and is you're praying, pray specifically for what you want in a man, because
don't settle.
Because God will give you what you want plus what you need. And that is definitely what he did with me, because I and my daughter needed exactly his personality. He drives us nuts sometimes with the way that he does things, but he's also not afraid to tell me, call me out on my BS. And he's not afraid to, like, you know, come at me whenever I'm being dramatic. And, you know, and I always, you know, thought I was the better spouse, I guess you could say, in my first marriage, because my first husband had so many struggles with drug abuse and things like that. And coming into a second marriage, I was like, I got this. This will be easy. But you're coming into with a person with a totally different personality. He's exactly what you prayed for. But God also knows that he is there to help you grow and become way more than what you were in your first marriage, in what I had been all of my life. And that has been like a big thing. Yes, he drives me nuts. And I tell him he drives me nuts when he calls me out on my stuff. But I'm thankful for it, too, because I'm ever changing and growing. And so is he.
That's right. And so go ahead. Did you have something?
Well, I was just going to say, Eden, our first year, me, oh my, she was in geometry. And Tracy's not a math person.
Not
whatsoever.
At all. None.
And so we would... Hours, every evening almost, and be sitting at the table. And then it got to where I don't know why we moved it upstairs, but we moved it upstairs. And now not only bedroom, dining room, kitchen, now it's also study hall with the teenager. It was something. I've always known I'm hard headed, but I just about met my match when Eden come around, and I guess we're almost those two peas in a pod thing. However, there's the 30 years worth of difference in age, and knowing that persistence and consistency, you just have to keep, you know, whether it's an inch or quarter inch or whatever it ahead at a time. If that's all you move, then but you're still, you gotta keep moving forward in some form or fashion, or you become stagnant. And
that's right.
And it's. That's when you start moving forward, that's when you fail.
Or get stuck. That's right. And so I'm guessing because you became the helping her with her geometry, so Eden came around.
Yes. Well, it took a good while. She would honestly, if she was here, she would tell you, I hated it here when I moved here. I hated Tim. I hated all of it. I hated it. She didn't like any part of being in Wheeler. And now... we joke around because whenever I tease her about, well, I'm fed up with Dad, I'm going to leave. And she says, well, you see you later, because I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying with Dad. She calls him Dad now. And she's very comfortable around him. There's been times when she's going to go to hang out with friends and she'll come and she's kind of having an off day and she'll stand in front of him and say, and he's like, what do you want? And she's like, I need a hug. And she'll hug him bye. And she's like, bye, Mom. See you later. And just walk off and leave me. And so we always say that God knew that I needed Tim, but God also knew that Eden needed Tim. And God knew that Tim needed Eden, because
we practice the do not go to bed angry thing. It's huge. We did it on the phone prior to getting married, and it wasn't, it's probably been 9 months or maybe a year now. Any which way, when me and Eden were having one of those moments, and I was done. I was fed up, tired of dealing with teenager girl. And, I told her, I said, go on, you go to bed. And she starts down the spiral staircase, and she says, we can't do this. We can't go to bed mad at one another. I said, at the moment, I said, you're going to your room. I said, we can finish it in a little bit, but at the moment we're separating. And so, but that's one thing. At that time she was only 17, but she had made a milestone. You don't go to bed angry. You don't leave that hurt, that anger, that whatever.
You resolve it.
You resolve it. And that's something for sure that needs to be. I mean, it's just the Bible says, you know, you're not supposed to let the sun set on your anger. Roughly, that's paraphrasing.
But don't you think it's because we get stuck in that? That could be part of the stagnant part. You can get stuck in that, and then you just the next day. And it begins to affect us rather than the person.
What happens when you leave a sticker under your skin? What happens? It festers.
It festers up. Yeah.
And not only does it fester, it becomes more painful. And not only does it become, it starts the little bitty thing now starts growing as it festers. And so when you do finally get it erupts, but it's quite relieving. But if you take care of it in the beginning, you don't have to go through all the rest of that process.
That's right. So so you guys have, Krista, how long have you guys been married now?
It'll be 3 years in March.
Well, 3 years. That's awesome. And so. That's one of the things that God has just really worked in your life and worked in your story to bring you guys together. What would be the one thing that you think that God has really shown you guys? And it can be two separate things if you want, but.
I think I'm pretty sure both of us will agree with this. And this. A year ago, I lost my mentor, Terry Dickey. And on his deathbed in the hospital, he texted his wife, and the one word was serve. And that is something. Somehow.
We have lived off of that for the last year. And Tim lost his job February of 2020.
Yeah.
And we have just served wherever we could serve, we served. And God has sustained us. God has financially kept us going. And that is, if you can't do anything else, but wash dishes in the kitchen of the church after they have had a dinner, go do it. If you can't do anything but vacuum the floors after the kids have gotten, you know, goldfish all over the nursery, do that. But, you know, scrub toilets for Jesus. Just serve somewhere, because that's something that we live off of
now.
If
you walk in on a Wednesday evening and there's folks in Shamrock, Texas that are needing picked up, you go get in the church van and you go drive and you go pick them up and
that's
you bring
right.
them.
So we try to serve in our church wherever we can, but we also try to serve, you know, with soldiers. We try to serve. Tim's part of Texas Freedom Protectors. Those are also part of people that got supplies that sent down to Kentucky. We try to serve everywhere that we can, that we're able to. And that's one of that's just what has basically been our foundation for the last year of our.
Going on to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be two in February. So anyway,
that's right.
But I mean, Jesus was a servant himself. I mean, he washed his disciples' feet. You know, Jesus didn't hang out in church. Jesus hung out with the lawyers and the prostitutes and the
tax collectors
and all the undesirables and you've got to get outside of your comfort zone whenever you serve. If you're if you're serving in your comfort zone, you may be just serving folks that already know. And not that that's a bad thing, but if they already know and already have that relationship, then you're not winning or being that disciple, so to speak. You're serving all right, but you're not being the disciple that you are called to be when you take on the role of Christianity and saying, "I Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. I'll serve you and whatever you need me to do."
And so with that being said, that's kind of what we've been talking about on the show for the last several shows on the radio is just saying yes. And that's what you guys did. Yes. You guys, you prayed about the wedding or, you know, each other and what your relationship and where God led you. And you chose to take it. So you guys served together and you chose to say yes.
Yes.
Very much so. You have to be that one. You are individuals, but one of the guys is talking about in my Texas Freedom Protectors is talking about getting married and how what makes a truly good marriage. And I have used this analogy many, many times. And a triangle, and the base of the triangle, at the two bottom corners are each individual, and the top point that is God. And as each one of you travels toward God and strengthens that relationship, not only are you getting closer to God, but that distance between the both of you gets closer as well. So that whole being one thing, and if you have that single focus of God first, which in today's world is almost a unheard of, because it's me or my kids or my spouse or whoever. But you have to put God first, and then there's the hierarchy or whatever of how things go from there, whatever the priorities are.
And you think about the triangle, it's not separate. It's all one.
Yes.
Very
and
much.
So it's putting God first, but also really, if you think about it, it's putting God in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. It's because you're putting God in the middle of it. You're in this marriage, but God is with you in this marriage. Y'all are all together in that triangle.
Yes. Very much so.
And yes. So it's that, moving towards that.
Yes. And one of the things that I've definitely can take away from all of this over and over and over again with our relationship, the timing of it and everything is trust God's timing, because God's timing is perfect. It's never early and it's never late, and it's exactly the way it's supposed to be. And I still have to remind myself to that right now with stuff that we're going through in our lives at this moment. God's timing is perfect. And no matter how much you try to rush it or speed it up or fast forward it or whatever, his timing is always going to be exactly when it needs to happen.
That's right. That's right. You know, you were talking about serving and you were talking about how do you make a marriage work and, you know, the triangle and whatnot. But also one thing that I have learned is serving each other in your marriage in a way that you put your spouse's needs above your own.
Yes.
And would you say that that's probably been something that has helped you guys as well? Or
she's probably way better at this. Yeah, she's probably way better at this than I am. I mean, a lot of times, I mean, I'll come in from working or doing something and she'll bring me a glass of cold tea or, you know, glass of iced tea, ask me if I need ibuprofen for my back. we'll be out working or whatever, and she'll say, "Do you want a bath when we get home?" And I, it's always, like I said, she's probably way better about it than I am. It's probably something I need to work on.
Well, that is so awesome. I'm so glad that you guys shared your story with us. As we come to the close of our program, what would be one thing, because obviously you both previously were married and divorced, and so what would be your one advice or your one thing that you would tell them about someone that had walked in the same shoes as you guys did? What would be your encouragement to them?
Prayer, for sure. And get into some sort of church body, and don't go back to the world, so to speak. The world will take you down a horrible dark path. For sure, get involved with church. Pray, just like Tracy said, pray for that partner that you want. Also, you have to be okay and understand, and God is all you truly need. If that's where it leads you, you have to be okay with that. I was roughly to the point. I mean, I'd been single, so to speak, for thereabouts of 10 years. I was done. If this is where it is, then this is where it is.
Okay. Well, how about you, Tracy?
I think it comes back to the trusting God's timing and just praying and praying specifically for what you want, and in your own life and in your future spouse's life, is just be very specific about those things. I tell every single woman that I've ever talked to or counseled or anything after that has come to me for advice is be specific about what you really want in a godly man, and don't just be like, "Oh, I'm going to settle for this guy because he goes to church." Wait till God brings you a godly man that actually will lead you, even when you don't know what leading is.
Well, you know what? Thank you guys so much for coming and being on our program tonight. It just really blesses us to hear a story that it doesn't matter where you are in your life. You can have a beginning. It's just like that scripture says, his mercies are new every morning.
Yes.
And so we thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Well, I just want to remind you guys that we do have a webpage. If you would like to go check us out and hear all of our previous programs, we have Jim, our tech guy that handles that and gets us all fixed up on there. And so it's sundaynightlive.org. And also you can go on there as well, and you'll see a link for our Facebook page, where if you'd like to go in and like that Facebook page and kind of follow us and see what we're doing. But, you know, if God is doing something in your life, we'd like to hear about it. Send us on that webpage. There's an email address. Email us. Let's hear from you guys. If this show has blessed you in any way, we want to hear from you or any of our past shows. And be sure and go in and check that out. And I appreciate these guys listening in on us.
This is amazing. It's a great story.
It is a great story.
I enjoy Tracy leading our music at church, but I didn't know her story either. So.
I didn't know either. So, you know, us women, we like details.
That's right. I know. That's why it's good to have you on board there.
So. And so, yes, that is one thing, is Tracy is our worship leader here at Cornerstone Church.
Uh-huh.
And
you can sneak online to the Cornerstone Facebook page and see a little bit of that.
And see her in action.
That's right.
That's right. And also on our webpage, if you want to, their Facebook page.
The podcasts
page.
Are there as well.
Yeah, the church's podcasts are on there as well. And so we want to invite you to go and check all of that out. We just want to thank you guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
That's right.
Happy New Year. And thank you for tuning in tonight.
We'll see everybody next week.
That's right. Good night.